Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers, locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes,
yippee,
is presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL.
Now your hosts,
Lauren Brooks,
Donna Murphy,
and Lauren Rude.
Happy Tuesday evening. Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes, is with you until 8 o'clock. I'm Lauren Rue. Donna Murphy with me as well. And Taylor Dahl has stepped in this week as Lauren Brooks has the week off. We know the Frangie Show's been out all week. That, of course, includes Lauren Brooks and her appearance on Helmets and Heels. So we're happy to have you with us, Taylor.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
It's a whole afternoon of Lauren Rue, too.
That is exactly right. People are either driving themselves off the nearest bridge or maybe thrilled to hear me for the next little bit. I promise not to talk the entire time. That's why I have these two lovely ladies with me. And let's get right to it. Let's stick with the theme of women. And let's talk about the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. They have faced plenty of criticism with their dominating performances. They have outscored their opponents 16-0. They'll take on Sweden tomorrow night. But ladies, what seems to be the topic of conversation when you bring up this team more often than not is not their skills on the soccer field, but more how they handle themselves in terms of sportsmanship. Donna, you, in your show prep, kind of sent us a topic, and you had an interesting take on this. I don't want to give you the opportunity to go first. You feel strongly about this in a certain way. How do you think this reflects and the way these women have been acting reflects?
Well, first, I have no problem with them, if you want to call it, running up the score. I got it, no issues with that. I'm all for you want to beat us, you want to stop us, then you have to. Just do it. I got no problem with them going 13-0 against Thailand. And my reaction to their celebrations, I thought, was a bit over the top against Thailand. And then come to find out, you know, some of the celebrations were actually like inside jokes.
Yeah.
Like the knee slide and the leg kick.
Right.
And it wasn't until I saw Taylor showed me the celebration against Chile where it was the golf clap and obviously mocking everyone who has criticized them for their over-excessive celebrations against Thailand. And that's when it hit me. I'm like, so that's what you're doing to people that criticized you against your exuberant celebrations? I'm like, well, now that comes across, A, as petty, just being straight up obnoxious and snobbery and just flat out, like, beneath you. What are you? You are clear. You are obviously the favorite. We know you're going to win. So act better than what you're doing. I got nothing with what you're doing with how many goals you want to score. Stop acting like you are better than Almighty and you guys are beneath me and I will act how I want to act on here. Much like if you take Rafael Nadal, who won the French Open, obviously he wasn't the one seed, but he was the two seed, so he's one of the favorites to win. If he acted this way, throwing his racket, hitting the tennis balls in the air when he defeated his first opponent in the round of 32, wouldn't we look at it going, what are you doing? You haven't won anything yet. Mm-hmm. This is what it's like to me. This is how I feel. Like, you haven't won anything yet. All right? This is a whole new season. This is nothing. Stop acting like you are the almighty. We understand that you are the favorite, but you need to behave. I don't appreciate it. I thought it was beneath them, and it makes them extremely unlikable to me. I'm going to root for the U.S., obviously. You root for the U.S. of A. But dang if I don't like them at all with how they're acting.
Yeah, and I'm similar. I think people who know me know that I don't like excessive celebrations. I don't mind some celebrating. I don't mind, you know, clapping and cheering and you running up and chest bumping your teammates, stuff like that. But if it's excessive or excessive trash talking, I'm just not a fan of that at all. In any sport, I'm like that. And so for this, a lot of the things I was seeing, one of my favorite, Hope Solo, who's one of the Olympic gold medalists for soccer, she commented and she said they're supposed to come naturally. It's about passion. And I liked that because, you know, it's when you score a goal and you're clapping or you're like, yeah, your hands go up. That's different than doing the kind of, like, as you said, kind of petty little things. And that's what I didn't like, where they were doing the slide. She was like twirling around the field at one point. There was the one girl's counting on her fingers, like, oh, one,
Alex
two,
Morgan,
three,
with
four.
How many goals she yeah. scored. Yeah.
How many? Just little things like that were irritating me also. I saw some good, you know, Alex Morgan also at the end went and consoled one of them, the Thailand players, too, hugged her. And you could tell she was kind of pep-talking her, trying to calm her down and, you know, have a little something. But to me, it kind of, at that point, I wouldn't really want to talk to you. I'd be like, you just did this. And it's not like the first few goals. Okay, yeah, get it. You're scoring these goals in the World Cup. So it's huge. It's big. It's a big moment in your life. And most of these girls dream of this since they're little for this to happen. But when it's 8-0 and you're having these exuberant reactions still at that point, I think it is a little much. And it's almost disrespectful when I see from my eyes.
The inside joke is what got me. Like,
why?
That celebration.
Yeah. Why?
Well, there's no point to it. It's everyone feels left out of an inside joke.
Right.
Say we come back from break and we're laughing and we're going, oh, man, if you could have seen what have happened here. But I can't tell you anything, but it's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, but I think I 100% agree with that. That makes bad sports talk radio. And we talk about being inclusive on the radio. Mm-hmm. We want our listeners to feel like they're part of the conversation. And when we say something that not everybody understands, you're right. It's a feeling of exclusivity. But in terms of celebrations and in terms of feeling like you have to know everything that's going on, we see so many celebrations in, let's just pick the NFL. For a long time, they took that away and wouldn't give us that. Now it's back, right? Mm-hmm. And there's choreographed things. Then there's things that guys do that we don't know why they do them. We don't know why Dede Westbrook and I forget who else it is, you know, have this dance that they do that's almost like a samba. Well, I don't know. I mean, they're just dancing. So for me, I don't understand why that would be bothersome. I understand from your perspective why, or your take, because many of people have that it's bad sportsmanship or it's taunting or it makes you look like a poor winner or whatever. But I don't agree with the idea that the inside jokes, like we have to know everything that's going on. I think that's just the performance and stuff. It wasn't insensitive, right? It wasn't anything that like...
I think it's more of... in the outside perspective, like this is the World Cup, so you're having a lot of people watch this right now that don't normally watch soccer, that
sure.
don't follow. They're cheering for the USA, and this is something outside. When it's something, it's your football team, most of the time I feel like if it's your team, you do know why they're doing it. Like the Bears, for example, did a couple little ones where I knew it was from the 1985, like their Super Bowl shuffle thing.
Right.
And if you're not a diehard football fan that follows that, you don't understand those little things. But I think because this is on like a national World Cup level, you – outside fans kind of want to relate a little more to it.
Yeah.
So I think that is, one of the main reasons.
And I also try to put it in, well, what if your team was doing this? So mm-hmm. say, for instance, like with Taylor being the Bears fan, what if you were watching Packers-Bears and the Packers, hope it doesn't do this, but the Packers were running up, you know, so-called running up the score, beating
yeah.
them, say it's 41-3 in the fourth quarter, and they're still doing these celebrations.
Yeah.
Aren't you going to be ticked off now?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what are you doing? So I'm looking at it from the opposite side
mm-hmm.
on Thailand's side going, like, seriously, I know you guys are better than that. Why are you celebrating like this?
Yeah.
And you're coming into that game also knowing you're
better than
one of, if not the best teams
right.
out there also. So it's kind of like, to me, adding another level of like disrespectful, because you're coming in here, you know what is about to happen. And I didn't know a ton about it. I don't follow soccer like that. But talking to Tony said everybody knew that mm-hmm. the game was going to be like that.
I think that, listen, I'm one for bat flips and trash talking.
So you're up for the showing them up. And
I have no problem with that.
See,
like, I really don't. I enjoyed the U from back in the day when they were this loud, obnoxious. Everybody loved them. I love that kind of stuff.
Are you that person when you are playing?
Yes, to an extent. There's yeah. no doubt about it. I mean, that part I am 100% fine with. I do think it's interesting that, Donna, for you specifically, in your fandom, in Red Sox and Patriots and Bruins and Celtics, mm-hmm. and for the fan base that you come from, that is extremely...
The majority are like that, but I'm not like that.
Yeah. Now, what about your teams, though? Because the Red Sox in particular were known for being the lovable losers until they started winning, and then they became very pompous and very arrogant. Did you find yourself annoyed with any of that?
Well, I don't act like that. So I don't lump myself in with
No,
that.
I know, but that's the teams that you cheer for. For that specific team, did that bother you when your own team kind of got this reputation for being...
No, because it doesn't affect me, because I know that's not how I am as a fan.
But it bothers you with the women's soccer team, but if the Red Sox do it, does it bother you? Like, if they act...
If they were to act that way,
yes.
You're talking about the fan base.
No, I'm talking about the actual team.
It
would bother you.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm the same.
Yeah, much like, I mean, and it may be why, part of it's because of how I was raised. But when you know, if you watch New England, they never celebrate afterwards. Like, scoring a touchdown, they hand the ball off. They don't like celebrate. It's known in that locker room. You don't celebrate, hand the ball off, and go.
Yeah.
So I'm used to watching stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. There's no need to – you haven't done anything yet. Go.
Yeah, that's one of my – I'm the same. And I'll sit there even during the games when I'm watching my teams, and if it's too much – like I said, I do not mind a little bit. Mm-hmm. But if it's too much, I will sit there and I'll be like, okay, calm down. Mm-hmm. That's enough. Like, we don't need to do all of this. And a little thing, and for the Bears also, I know Walter Payton, he would never celebrate. And it was his thing. Like, his son, Jarrett Payton, said he got in trouble because he celebrated on a touchdown one time and looked up to the stands, and Walter Payton was looking at him like, no. You give the ball to the referee, you walk away. Like, you're doing your job. That's
sure.
What you're doing, you know? I don't mind a little bit of it. That's an intense level of not being able to, like,
right.
Clap for yourself or, you know, whatever. But I get annoyed when it's too much.
And it might be somewhat... You know, I was speaking with my mom before the show, and she's like, I think it's the new age, Donna. It's mm-hmm. all the young kids now. It's the millennials. They like to showboat. They like to, it's all about me, you know, making a case, because I'm old school. You don't celebrate. You just, good sportsmanship, shake hands afterwards, you know.
Well, and that part's fine, and they did just that. But I do think there's been some unfair criticism for them in particular and the way that they've handled themselves. And we can disagree on that, but I think that, being macho is the wrong word, but for the long time, that's what it was. I mean, it was only men that we mm-hmm. paid attention to, and a lot of them celebrated. And this goes back generations of sports figures and people that were hated because of the way they either slowly walked after they hit a home run, or maybe they were a dirty player or whatever. I just think we pay more attention to it now because the social media aspect
right.
of it, we see so
yeah.
many more games, we can watch all these things happen. And I don't necessarily believe that if you're a jerk out on the field, that you're a jerk in real life. I think this team has faced a lot of criticism, and I think what has been overshadowed is how good they actually are. And I really do challenge people to take a moment and think, if this was the men's team and they were, and it's not because they're not any good
yeah.
and they're still making more money than the women, but if it were the men's team, I think the people who have such a problem with this would show such an American pride, like, that's right. This is what the USA is, and we kick the crap out of these teams and these countries. That's my opinion, and maybe you differ, but I truly believe that there is some stigma still that exists that men think, or women think, men and women think, that women shouldn't act that way out in the sport play.
I completely agree. That's my exact reaction. If this was the men's team, I think the story would be maybe them actually running up the score as opposed to the celebration.
And you wouldn't feel any differently if it were the men's team acting this.
I mean,
you'd still have a problem with it. Yeah.
And I don't know, though, because just in the men's sports still, they get the criticism, too, that you constantly hear about these guys who, you know, bat
flop.
Flip or do this or flop, or in football when they do too much and they've made rules and not made rules. So I think guys get criticized for it, too. It's just bigger right now because this is on a national level
right.
and it's the World Cup and everybody's focusing on it right now.
Yep, good point. That's Taylor Dahl. She's with us tonight on Helmets and Heels. Donna Murphy is here as well. I'm Lauren Rue. Andrew Gibson with 1 hour left or 45 minutes left in his shift tonight before Matt LaVey joins us. Nick Foles has been asked to save the Jaguars. Can he do it? We discuss next.
Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
When the Jaguars cut ties with Blake Bortles and then inked...
Yee-hoo!
That was the reaction. And then inked Nick Foles to 4-plus years and $88 million. I think there absolutely was this feeling of... Nick Foles could come and save us, could come save the Jaguars. He could come in and fix all the problems that they had with Bortles, mm-hmm. which is it's a fair thing to say because Blake Bortles was not good. He really wasn't very good at all for most of his career. But he wasn't the only problem. We, at this point, have regurgitated the offensive line injuries and the Leonard Fournette disappointment and the defense not living up to maybe some unrealistic expectations from the season before. But either way, the pressure on Nick Foles to come in here and be the Super Bowl winning quarterback that he is, I think that's something that we're all kind of waiting to see if that turns out to be something he can do here in Jacksonville, right? That's fair. So the question of whether or not he can save them is one that Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports examined. And he kind of gave a list of reasons as to why he thinks Foles could be the guy to save the franchise or save the team. And then some other reasons why he couldn't. He joined the guys on XL Primetime today. And one of the first things he mentioned, and it's something we've already seen, is Foles and his leadership qualities.
I mean, it's a genuinely good guy. And I think that, again, you know, you have to be able to play good football, too. That's part of the job. But I think if there's one thing you're not going to worry about, it's Nick Foles being the best leader that he can be in that locker room.
How important is that attribute for him to have, considering what was here before?
Huge. I mean, we, as fans, we didn't, at least I didn't trust Bortles with being a true leader. With, and for that, I mean, knowing all your plays, knowing what to do on the field, and acting correctly off the field. That, to me, is a true leader.
Yeah, there's a lot of aspects of leadership that I think people assume that when you say a leader, it's that guy that's just like, you know, standing in the middle of the huddle, pumping everyone up. That's not necessarily what it means.
The vocal part of it. Yeah,
yeah, there's a lot of aspects of leadership that I think are important. And I think that Nick Foles having those would be huge because you kind of saw the derailment of a team towards the end of a year that didn't have like somebody to just kind of lock them down and say, hey, guys, you know, get it together. Kind of, and they need that. A lot of these guys are young. They're looking for that guy to kind of mentor them, lead them, and be like, hey, you know, I've done this before. Let me help you out. And if you need me, I'm here. Yeah. And I think that's huge. And Nick Foles seems like the guy that has that.
Right. Well, all we have to go off of in terms of what he's done in Jacksonville is what he's done at voluntary OTAs and at minicamp. Mm-hmm. And from what everything has said, what we have seen with our own eyes and what we've heard, is that he's doing everything he needs to be doing in terms of leadership and gaining the respect, and his teammates are saying great things about him. So far on June the 18th, he's passed all those tests. I will say this. When I read through this piece from Cody Benjamin, in terms of saving the Jaguars, I personally don't think the Jaguars need saving. I think they need stability. Mm-hmm. I think when we talk about saving, it is like talking about a team who hasn't really been to the bottom of the barrel and been down before. That's what this franchise has been known for. Mm-hmm. Good, bad, or indifferent, that's the reality. There has been more bad times than good. Do they need saving? No, they need somebody with some stability, mm-hmm, and to come in and put together 3, 4, 5 consistent years of playoff football. It is extremely difficult to win the Super Bowl. It's extremely difficult to get to the Super Bowl. Even some of the best teams who you thought were going to run through the regular season, injuries plague, and then they throw you for a complete loop. So for me, I personally believe that Nick Foles can be that stability that this team desperately needs.
Agree? I mean, I see your point. I don't think you're wrong at all with that. The stat that shot out to me in Benjamin's article on CBSSports.com was that he brought up Nick Foles' stats against the division now, mm-hmm, that he is in.
Right.
And he is 6-0 against, you know, the Texans. And
the AFC South, yeah.
So with 11 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and then over 102 average for his QB rating. I mean, that to me alone, because you're playing these teams twice a year. Thank you.
Yeah,
I will take that one easily. Yes,
well,
please.
I think that makes a little difference, though, also. What you know personally, when you're in a division with somebody, those games are a little different. And you see them more. You know their team a little more. And so I think it may, not saying he can't do that against the AFC South this year, but I don't know if it will quite be that, just because they are going to study Nick Foles more than they did when Nick Foles was on previous teams,
right,
because now he is the Jaguars quarterback and, you know, our savior, apparently. So I think it's going to be a little different. But those numbers, there was a lot of numbers he had in this article that stood out a lot to me. But my main thing outside of playoff appearances, the 3 years they're talking about, he started 3 games, 7 games, 5 games. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a small pool of numbers that you're pulling from that. And so my thing is more of consistency. Is he going to be able to do this for 16 games?
Right.
That's kind of my question and the whole thing of, and that jumps out to me more of like, hey, is he going to save this team, or, you know, kind of stabilize this team, or is he not? And I think it's going to be more of, can he take that small pool of numbers and make that a whole season? Because we're not really sure he can do that.
It was a team last year that won 5 games. And when the Jaguars signed Foles, one of the conversations or one of the questions that was asked was, how many more wins could Foles have gotten this team last year? Which is almost impossible to answer. It's impossible to answer. Yeah. We can take our best guess and say, well, would he have not turned the ball over here, or would he have been able to close him out there? Mm-hmm. We can beat that horse that has already been beaten to death. However, Cody Benjamin, who was the focus of this conversation here, weighed in on how many wins he thinks he can help get the Jags, Nick Foles, that is, next season.
If you think Nick Foles can save the Jaguars, it depends on how you define saving the Jaguars. And if you think it means he's going to turn him into a Super Bowl contender this year, I think that's the wrong bet. I think if saving the Jaguars means getting them back above 500 to 9-7 or 10-6, I think that's right up his alley.
Jaguar fans would take that right now, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you couldn't guarantee a Super, again, going to a Super Bowl is extremely difficult, and you're coming from 5-11 and essentially rebranding your offense, you give me 9-7 right now, I'll take it all day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's another aspect of it, is it wasn't just Blake Bortles either. Blake Bortles was a lot of the issues, but there was a lot of injuries on the offensive line that didn't help. Receivers, you know, there's just wasn't any
playmakers and such, right?
You couldn't do that. Fournette was out a lot. Then Fournette was suspended. And so there was a lot of other issues surrounding it. So I like his wording of, like, what do you mean by savior? Because You don't know. He could do everything he can do perfectly, or, you know, close to perfect as he can. And if all those other aspects don't all fall in place also, then it's not going to be what people expect it to be.
In terms of those lack of players that you mentioned before, I mean, there are still question marks there in terms of the tight end position, the offensive line that's been beat up specifically. What's the status of Cam Robinson? In terms of wide receivers, we saw D.D. Westbrook do some things last year, but there was really no consistency. Again, I keep going back to that word of consistency. Marquise Lee won't be available for training camp. Is he somebody that is going to be full go when things get rolling in September? But the final piece of audio we have here from Cody Benjamin talks about the lack of some of those guys.
With the current personnel the Jaguars have, I have a hard time believing this is going to be a, you know, flip the switch and they're back to the AFC Championship. However, I think Nick Foles is too good of a locker room leader, too crazy of a story to completely write him off.
See, and this is where I think he should have stopped with his article. Because Nick Foles is so brand new to this offense. If you think that the offensive characters that we have, the tight end, lack of tight ends, the tight end, the wide receivers, this core group, if you think they're going to look like how they looked with Bortles, you need to stop thinking that, because they're not going to.
Sure hope they don't.
Yeah. They're not going. They never knew where the ball was. It was never in the right spot. It was never thrown correctly at the right time. This is now a quarterback who knows a playbook, who will have a more in-depth playbook, who can throw accurate. I know it's mini camp, but we've already heard, you know, that yes, he is getting the ball where it needs to go, and the wide receivers are going, oh wow, okay, it's actually here. So it's new to them, so they're gonna shine so much brighter than they ever have.
And
I think that it goes back to when you compare Nick Foles' weapons that he had in Philly, and you kind of look at those, and those are names that you would want
recognizable.
Want these guys, and those guys you can see on paper have a lot. You have a running back, a tight end, and two wide receivers who are all close to 800, pushing 800, if not over. And the Jags haven't had one to top 750 yards in 2 years. But that's where you're like, okay, is that because of Bortles, or is that because these receivers aren't the receivers that Foles had in Philly. So I think that either way is a big question, and we'll see that quick. We'll see if, you know, Dede, because Dede was on track. Dede had a decent season last year, and that was with Bortles. So if Dede can do that with Bortles, what can Dede do with Nick Foles?
What can Dede do? I kind of like what that. Like W, what can, what's, it's getting too late and my radio brain is fried.
We're not doing what would.
WCDDDD, right? Oh my gosh, that's what it is. All right, sports teaches us a lot of things. And Twitter does as well. We'll explain what I'm talking about next.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
We, in the Frank Frangie Show, a show that I'm filling in for this week with Tony Smith and Philip Heilman, talked about Twitter. Did you guys know that Twitter, like, this is the 10-year anniversary of Twitter? 10 years ago, we weren't having these conversations that
besides
started with
Taylor's tweet about it. I wouldn't have known.
You wouldn't have known? Yeah.
Nope.
I mean, how many, I'm not kidding you. There are probably a handful of conversations that I start throughout the day, or excuse me, that start with, I saw this on Twitter. Did you see this on Twitter? It's such a huge part of our lives.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And it becomes part of our conversation here on Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
I feel like, especially in sports, do you notice that your friends that aren't into sports aren't as big into
on
Twitter?
On Twitter, yes.
They're going to be on the Facebook.
Yeah, or Instagram is a big, that's where the influencers and people who tell you how you should decorate your house and what kind of jeans you should wear.
Yeah, I don't go on the gram.
I know, it exhausts me from time to time. So on Twitter, we get hashtags, we get things that trend, and we get to play fun little games. And that includes one that Taylor Dahl found called What I Learned from Sports.
Yes. So I saw it. It was kind of one of the ones that was actually trending. So I'm like, let me see. And I think it was something that they were trying to start off as a serious, you know, let's make this inspirational for people. And it turned kind of quick to not as inspirational. Some people still were, but some turned it into just kind of funny things. So I sent it to you guys, some of my favorite ones. One of them, which this is, I think we've all felt this at some point, because it was the hashtag What I Learned from Sports, and I said that any team I sport usually loses. And I'm like, I felt like that so many times where I'm like, maybe if I don't cheer for them, this team will win.
Yes.
That's for like former heel and former drill member Jordan D'Armond.
Oh, yeah.
Every team she roots for.
She was a jinx.
Oh, yeah.
Is she the Jordan jinx?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Everyone used to joke about, because, and she started wearing Cub stuff, and I'm like, you need to stop.
Stop.
You cannot do that. There was a few that, I think that was one, and then there was a series ones like the sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Someone was like, there is a difference between football and football.
Yes, that's a good point. That is a good point.
Someone was like, I can be over 6.5 foot tall and still be horrible at basketball.
Yes, that's very good. That is funny.
I mean, I would recommend if you do have Twitter, just, you know, go
scroll
in there,
down.
Scroll down, look at them, because a lot of them are funny. I enjoyed this one, What I Learned from Sports. Don't jump in excitement with hot mac and cheese on your lap.
Yeah, which is totally random.
Oh, man. And then someone else had a capture of an NBC Nightly News, and it was Browns fans are salty even in the afterlife. And in the caption, it's from NBC, and in somebody's they're when they die.
Yes.
They're pallbearers.
No,
yes.
The guys
but he said he
we're on a game of charades here. Sounds like.
He said he respectfully requests 6 Cleveland Browns pallbearers so the Browns can let him down one last time.
Yes.
I mean, bravo for that, you know, when you pass. But to be honest and truthful, for me, I mean, I feel that dancing is very athletic and a sport, so I will consider myself an athlete growing up. But what I learned from sports is how to take criticism.
Oh, yeah.
I am able to go out there and, yep, I lost. No big deal. I can be a great sportsman. When I come to work, if they tell me, hey, you did a bad job, I've already thought that in my head. So no worries. That's rolling right off me. And I got you. I'll be better next time. So I know how to move on and get better.
I would say not, it's okay to be aggressive at certain points, because I'm a very laid back person. Like I don't get angry easy. And I remember when I first started playing sports, I was playing basketball and volleyball, and my dad used to get so mad because I was so nice, and like someone would fall and I'd turn around and help the girl up off the court. And he's like, you can't do that. Like, you have to keep playing. And I'm like, I'm sorry she fell. And so I think it kind of learned to not be pushed around so much, because for a long time I let that happen in sports and outside of sports. So it kind of taught me to stick up for myself. You know, not, you don't have to be mean about it, but you can stick up for yourself in all aspects of life. And I think it definitely taught me that.
That's really good. I mean, that's something that I know people will put their kids in sports sometimes to help either harness their aggressiveness and find an outlet for it, and on the opposite side, hope that it kind of sparks that in them. And mm-hmm. that sounds like what you kind of gain from it. Something that I learned most recently in sports is that team sports don't, just because you play a team sport does not always mean you have a team mentality.
Right. Yeah.
Right? This idea, and we see this in the NFL, and specifically with the Jaguars, that it's like, well, you're being a bad teammate if you do this. And you, I truly believe that once you get to the professional level and once the rookie newness has worn off and it becomes, how much can I get paid? I got to look out for number one. It's CYA a lot of the time. That it takes away from that warm, fuzzy feeling of, mm-hmm. well, this is a team sport. Mm-hmm. We're all for one and one for all. No, I mean, we got Yannick Ngakoue, who, in, from all accounts or most accounts, deserves the contract that he has worked for. Mm-hmm. And he is, quote, taking away from the team by not being here. But I think all of us agree in this room, and most people agree, that he's doing what's best for him. Is that the best thing for the team? Not necessarily. But I think that's, and that's where I've learned, right?
Yeah.
It's not, at some point in an athlete's career, it becomes, well, I got to do what's best for me. And you hope that that doesn't, and I think there's a part
the
of
team.
Us, right. You, mm-hmm. I think we want to hold on to this idea of they're all in this together, but that's not how it is.
And it's hard, especially when you've seen teams that you like, or even looking on the outside of maybe just teams that you followed, and you do see those ones that are just tight-knit teams, and you feel like they're perfect. And I'm sure they're not. There's probably always the inside stuff that's going on that we're not hearing, or little, you know, little this. But when things like this come out, you know, with Ngakoue, and it kind of at one point you're a little upset because you want him to be there, and you want him to be a part of the team. You know how big he is for this team,
right?
But at the same time, he deserves money, and who are you to tell him,
right,
that?
And
he,
if
doesn't,
he gets
he
hurt,
can't get
then
that.
His
yeah
it ends up hurting him just as much and even more than the team as a whole.
I mean, with the few superstars in baseball with mega contracts, you can really tell the ones that have a true close-knit team. And for me, you can really tell in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see it when it, I mean, because the game is so slow, so you're seeing the dugout the whole time. And, you know, when it's a pitching change, who all comes together and what they're doing, you know, that for me, you can really tell. Like last year, I mean, it was ridiculous with what the Red Sox did, but they were having so much fun and you saw it.
Yeah.
And the Fortnite dances, and it was crazy and exciting. And they don't have that.
That's one of my favorite things about baseball is you can, and you know, the guys that are having fun out there, and they're joking around, and they're nudging in the field, and they're messing with each other on fly balls and stuff like that. And I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you want every team to be able to have that. You want the teams you love to have that family of, okay, this is, we're all team, everything's about the team, but it can't always, it's a business also.
Right.
Yep.
It's hard to put that aside sometimes.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's switch gears for just a moment here. I did not mean to use that there because I'm going to use it later on in the show, but just remember that
okay.
I said that. Eagles tight end Zach Ertz leaves training camp to watch wife in World Cup. That was a headline from CBS News for a story talking about Zach Ertz going to watch his wife, Julie Ertz, who's part of the U.S. women's national team, who's obviously part of the conversation of sportsmanship and running up the score and all the things we covered earlier in the program. But this headline itself, this tweet, got quite a bit of attention yesterday. And I think it's because the subject of the story, in this case, should have been Julie Ertz, who wasn't even mentioned in this. Now, my opinion of this is, listen, this isn't hot take time, or this isn't me losing sleep over whether or not they refer to her as Zach Ertz's wife or by her name. But I think in this, the the time that we're in and this women's team being a huge story, that fixing it, like Sarah Spain did and many others did, would have been better read like, the husband of U.S. Women's National Team midfielder Julie Ertz has left Eagles training camp to watch her in the World Cup. And then it's the picture of her in her soccer uniform and him with it or whatever. I think that it's somewhat much to do about nothing, but
yeah.
I also think that it's like, yeah, I mean, damn, what has she got to do for it to be recognized? Like, hey, Julie Ertz is headed, is in the World Cup and her husband plays for the Eagles and he's been granted permission to go watch her.
Well, three things. If they wrote it like Sarah Spain thought fixing it, and I put that in air quotes because I saw nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. If they wrote it like that for CBS News, no one would have clicked it because mm-hmm. nobody knows who Julie Ertz is.
Well, that's part of the problem, though.
Besides soccer fans.
But right there, I'm so glad you said that because that's part of the problem. Quote, nobody knows who she is. But when they don't give her the proper billing, if you will, if they don't tell everybody her name in the headline, then how are people supposed to know who she is?
The only people that I would think non-soccer fans, really, I would call myself not really a soccer fan. I know who Alex Morgan is more because cute. She gets more bill time. She's on the swimsuit cover for Sports Illustrated. I know who Alex Morgan is. That's how I know, because they're playing off her looks. They did it last World Cup. Because she's the cute one on the group. That's what they do. We know who Hope Solo was because she had so much controversy. Julie Ertz, I have no idea who she is. And secondly, what happened? Is this world filled with such feminists? Take your panties, unball them, and just relax. Zach Ertz is known more because football is king in this country. People know who Zach Ertz is. I don't understand. I told Taylor, I said, you could have sat me in front of this headline for 5 hours and I would never have guessed what the hell was wrong with this headline.
Really, honestly, was like, can you tell me what is the
issue? I don't know. I don't see anything wrong with it.
As I was scrolling, because when I first saw it, I just saw the initial CBS post of it. So it was just the main article. Nobody's retweet, no comments on it, nothing. It was almost right when it was just posted. And I honestly, at first, I was like, my initial reaction was like, that's really cool. Power couple, there's someone in the World Cup, Zach Ertz, you know, Super Bowl, Eagles. That's really cool. First thing in my head. Not like, you know, who's bigger or who makes more money or who's more popular or blah. That did not even faze me at all. I honestly was just like, that's super cool, you know? And then as I started seeing the other things, and it was the retweets with people's recaptions and stuff like that, and that's when I sent it to you guys because I initially was just like, you know, I don't understand why it had to get to that level of, okay, everyone getting upset about it. I understand maybe they could have used her name in it. They could have said, you know, that leaving to see his wife, Julie Ertz, and that, you know, put her name, okay. But I don't think it's offensive at all to say, like, as Donna said, football's huge here. That's a name we'll all recognize. That is going to make us click this article. Now we read this article and we're like, oh, Julie Ertz is in the World Cup. She's married to Zach Ertz. Now I know who she is. And mm-hmm. now when I see other things about her, I can relate it.
Right. And just to be clear, I'm not offended. I mean, there are certain things that offend me.
Yeah.
But this is not offensive to me. But the mindset, and on a bigger scale of women's sports in this country and the coverage they get there, and specifically the women's national soccer team, they are underpaid and undervalued. And and the idea of saying, well, it doesn't matter because they don't make – no, they do make more money than the men. I mean, there was literally a study that just came out that proves that they still make more money, they're more profitable than the men. And I think it does a disservice to them to not acknowledge them for what they have accomplished. And again, this is a small sample size mm-hmm. of saying Julie Ertz is, but I'll tell you this much. Daniel played baseball at Oklahoma State. I went to Oklahoma State at the same time. We both graduated at the same time. We both have degrees from that school. If I ever made it to ESPN or somewhere big and my alma mater acknowledged it, and if the headline read, former Oklahoma State baseball pitcher Daniel Rue's wife finds herself and a role at ESPN or something like that, I'm not going to lie, I'd be slightly insulted because one should not have to directly affect the other. I mean, it should be, I could stand alone in that moment. Now, the story of this is a little bit different because mm-hmm. he's been granted leave to go watch his wife play in the World Cup. But
That was another thing that popped in when I initially saw it, and I said, oh, cool, power couple. I also was like, dang, he's in minicamp. I wonder if he's going to get fined for this. That was the first thing that popped in my head. I'm like, he doesn't want to lose money for going to see this.
So Charles hits us up on Twitter. You can do that. I'm at Lauren_Rue. You ladies are at, I apologize for not having it memorized.
At football show.
Yeah, thank
mine's
you.
Taylor S. Dahl.
Perfect. Charles says, and I'm glad he brought this attention, brought this detail to my attention, because I do remember this. He says, there's a backstory with Julie Ertz's media coverage. During the Eagles playoff push, there was a rather sexist story that treated it as weird that she was going to be playing for the U.S. Women's National Team rather than going to the NFC Championship game. So there, I do remember that being
don't
like,
remember that.
Yes, I absolutely, they were like, well, she's not here. And it's like, yeah, well, yeah, she's got her own job and her own life and all these other things. So
now they're saying, okay, well, he left his mini camp to come see her.
I don't know if, well, and that's a bit different in both things, I suppose. But either way, it's interesting. And on the bigger scale of things, these women are trying to be respected mm-hmm. like the men's team would. And they're trying to get paid the same the men's team would.
And don't act like crazy, obnoxious babies when you score 13
well,
goals.
That shouldn't matter either way. They should still be compensated. Yeah. There's a lot of crazy, obnoxious men who make plenty of money and some
yeah.
too much who act that
Ooh,
way
that's
all
a
the
lot
time.
Of rain.
All yeah, that's in Omaha. So the yeah. that's the game today got postponed. I guess they're going to try to continue Louisville and
is that at 9?
Is it Auburn?
Pushed?
Yeah, is that what they said? I'm not sure. I know tonight's Vandy Mississippi State game got pushed to 1:00 tomorrow afternoon. Mm-hmm. So. We will keep you posted on that. All right, we're going to get to finally changing gears and changing gears with LaVar Ball. We'll do that next.
Jaguars football by women, for women, and men. Helmets and heels. Built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hour number two of Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes. Lauren Rue, Donna Murphy, and Taylor Dahl with us this evening. Lauren Brooks is on vacation. Did you guys see she got a flat tire?
I did not. She told
Jeez,
me this morning.
On 95. Yeah. That's scary. But yeah. I think a Big Chief Tire hooked her up and took care of her. So
that's nice.
That would be scary. It's knock on stuff thing that looks like wood, but it's not.
It's knock on this fake wood.
Yes. I've never gotten a flat tire. Have you?
Oh, yeah. No. Mine completely exploded on the highway one time.
Oh,
I
was
terrified.
Scary.
Yeah.
Oh, that is scary.
When my grandpa showed up, he was like, I don't know how your car didn't just flip, because the whole Yeesh. Thing was just shredded.
That is
scary. It was terrifying.
All right, we say goodbye to Andrew Gibson. Thank you, Andrew, for
Hi,
your
Gibby.
Service through the Frangie Show and then the first hour of Helmets and Heels. Matt LaVey taking over as he does in the 7 o'clock hour. Matt, how are you?
I am great. How about y'all?
Very good. Very Thank good. You very much. All right, let's get right to it. LaVar Ball, ugh, I know. I'm
yeah,
sorry I have
yeah.
to say his name. I'm sorry we have to give this any kind of attention. I'm sorry. I know I'm part of the problem. I get it. But just bear with us for the next 4 or 5 minutes on this topic, and we'll hopefully move past him very quickly. We know with the trade with Anthony Davis to the Lakers, it meant Lonzo Ball was headed to New Orleans. Of course, ESPN decided they had to hear from Papa Ball to find out his take on that. And then we find out that LaMelo's headed to Australia and the Lakers are going to rue the day they ever cut ties with the Ball family. Blah, 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 barf, barf. But either way, he found himself on the set of First Take with Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith, a show that Molly Kierum moderates. And this was the interaction presented without comment of a segment from that show.
LaVar, can I switch gears with you for? Because I have a question
you
here.
You can switch gears with me anytime.
Let's stay
oh,
focused
Lord.
Here.
Go ahead.
All right.
Is that Stephen A?
That was Stephen A that said, oh, Lord.
Oh,
yes.
Lord. Thank
yeah.
you, Stephen A.
Yes. Okay, immediate reactions when you either heard this for the first time now or heard it from the first time whenever you heard it.
Look, thank you, Stephen. Look, oh, Lord was the same exact. Goodness. Come on.
I can't stand LaVar Ball. Obviously, we just had a whole 30 seconds on it, but I really can't. But I don't know. I don't think this, it didn't bother me as much as maybe other people. I get it was inappropriate. I think the comment, his retaliation comment bothered me more, because when they asked him about it, he said, I can't remember the exact words, but he was like, I didn't mean it like that. I was just saying, like, she can literally change, because they're like, you know, changing gear, what that means. And he was like, yeah, that's what I meant, is she can change gears, like change topic with me anytime. I don't care.
Right.
Like, it's her show.
And so if this is an isolated event, right, and Matt LaVey feels as the only man in the room, assuming Graham's not there anymore, the intern. He is there. Hello, Graham. Can't see you past the wall. Assuming that, or for the sake of this conversation, if this is the only run-in we have with LeVar Ball and comments he has toward women,
it'd be different.
We're kind of like, oh, what a creeper, yeah. Right? But if you will recall, a couple of years ago when he went on Colin Cowherd's show and Kristen Leahy was still part of it, he told her to stay in her lane. And that's been turned into T-shirts, and it's a soundbite, and it's all these things. And it was disrespectful, in my opinion, then, and this was disrespectful now. Like, dude, that is so incredibly inappropriate and creepy. And for every person out there who's going, well, he didn't mean it like a sexual innuendo. Really? Because are you telling me that if that were a man that was sitting there hosting that show, that he would have looked at him and said, you can switch gears with me anytime?
Yeah, no, that would not have been said.
Right?
If anyone's calling HR today, it's me.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I don't think either of us would ever say that.
So what, you wouldn't say that, would you? And if we did, that's a good point, Donna.
It would be weird.
What would what would the blowback have been if she had said, like, if it were some attractive person, if Channing Tatum rolls up and he makes some comment, she's like, sit on my lap anytime or something.
It would be huge,
right? It would be totally out of control.
I definitely think doing it in that moment on TV, it was inappropriate. I think it's something that normally outside, like if we were all sitting here off air and one of them said it to me like jokingly, I would probably giggle and be like, haha, that was good. Like, that was funny. But the moment that he did it, like I said, on TV, nationally, on her show, I think it was a little disrespectful in that aspect. But I wouldn't have, I probably would have just been like, rolled my eyes and been like, all right, whatever, move on.
So I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this before, but in terms of kind of the level playing field that men and women do not have in this industry. I mean, it's we can all agree that the men are given a much bigger benefit of the doubt when it comes to all things sports talk radio, especially sports talk radio. The show that I had back in Oklahoma before I moved here, it was a 3-hour show from noon to three every day, myself and a co-host. I hosted the show. We had a guest on one time who knew me, was familiar with me, and at one point called me honey or sweetie. And immediately the thought that ran through my mind and what that does to you in that moment, because that's not a term of endearment that you use in a professional setting. Period. No need for debate, argument, or whatever. This is not 1920, 1990, 30, 1940, 1950, which it wasn't appropriate then either. It's not appropriate now. But it immediately puts you on a different level, because when someone calls you sweetie or honey in that setting, it's not your grandma saying, hey, sweetie or honey, sweetie, or the woman at the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A calling you sweetie. Totally different. This is like, you have now put me on you have now dropped me down a level by speaking to me like we're not on the same level. And that to me in that moment is what he did to her.
Well, and I can bring up what happened to me at the Players this you know, just a few months ago when we're in the media area doing updates, which we're in our own little cubicle and a few other stations are there, including, you know, BBC and I forget who was right next to us. But regardless, you know, I was talking, I believe, to Matt LaVey and on the headset, and one of the guys next to us, part of another station, was like, hey, Blondie. And I turned around and I'm like, yeah. And I'm the only female in there, but I'm like, Blondie? Like, what? Okay. I've never been called Blondie in my life, and I've been blonde for my whole life, but I'm just like, why wouldn't you be like, hey, miss, hey, girl, hey, lady?
I mean, call me ma'am, which makes me feel 100 years old anyway.
Like, Blondie.
All day over. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Should I shake my head and talk like a valley girl, too?
Yeah.
What is
it? It even used to bother me when I bartended forever, and they would be like, they'd whistle or like snap or be like, even the honey sweeties there I didn't like, because I'm like, I'll tell you my name when I'm greeting you. You know, I'm Taylor. Yes. I'll be taking care of you.
Or have a name tag, and if you cannot read, then
and I would write it on a little tag like in front of them, so just so you don't have to yell. And I would have guys like snapping their fingers like, hey, honey, come here when you get. And I'm like, no, stop. I have a name.
Yeah, no, exactly right. Matt, from your perspective, the comment he made to her, where do you stand on that?
I mean, obviously, I think it's inappropriate, but I would say Graham and I were just talking about this in here. It's just, we feel like that's just the way he is. Like, I don't know if he did intentionally. It's just, he's just that type of guy, which doesn't make an excuse for it, but that's just the craziness of LeVar Ball.
Because he's a strange guy, and he just says things.
Right. He's loud, and he's obnoxious, and he's... Mm-hmm. And he'll say things for shock value, and it's like, why?
And sometimes, honestly, I think he says things not fully understanding what he is saying.
The ramification of it, sure. Like, oh, right, or not actually. No, that's a good point. It's like, well, I don't know.
I mean, we've gone from, you know, Lonzo's going to be better than LeBron.
Right, yes.
Then he gets to the Lakers and fails miserably, and then he backtracks, and last year was like, oh, well, you need all three Ball brothers to play together. That's when Lonzo's really great.
Well, and all this other crap that goes on because of him actually takes the attention away from the kind of basketball players his kids are, which are pretty damn good ones.
But, I would be mad if I was one of his sons. Yes. Like, can you just let us play basketball be quiet for a little while?
Yeah, so that is our 7 minutes of LeVar Ball talk that we don't ever have to hopefully do again.
Stay
I really do think, though, that moment of just like him saying that, the look on her face, she handled it well.
She did.
Her co-hosts were like, oh, God, let's just move past it and hopefully he doesn't say it again. All right, I like to splurge on things from time to time. Mm-hmm. Now, if I have additional funds or discretionary funds, it's like I love to get a massage or a facial, stuff like that. Well, today happens to be, because this is what life is like in 2019, every day is a day. It's not just Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's National Splurge Day.
Oh.
So when you have extra money or you have extra time, what do you like to splurge on?
Nothing for myself.
No? Okay.
No. Like, I like to splurge in the toy section at Walmart for JT.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
That's what I actually secretly enjoy, putting all the Lego sets together.
Do you?
It is kind of for you.
It is. It's fun. It's
something
almost
you
like
do
meditative.
Together, or do you just like go, here, let me just help you with this, and then you've built the
if
whole thing?
If it's a junior's one, yes. But if it's a regular one, he'll put the people together, and then I'll do everything else.
Well, and those Lego sets are not cheap. So that is a splurge of sorts.
And
that's for you, too, if you like to do it.
Yeah, I like to.
It's like puzzles, right? Like, is that the same kind of feel you get from it?
It's very calming, yeah.
Yeah. I think mine would be easy. I'm always about... like new sports gear, either that or vacations. Like anytime I can, if I have extra money, usually I'm planning to go do something, usually based around a sporting event also. But I like to travel. I get very antsy if I'm home too long. So that's my way. Anytime I have extra money, I'm like, all right, what can I do? Even if it's a weekend to Orlando, you know, like something like that. I just like to be like, okay, let me get away for a minute.
Yeah.
And hopefully some sporting event is happening and I'll be happy.
Did you ever get to a point like where you go to a restaurant and they offer you like the house drink, you're like, you know what? Forget it. I'm splurging tonight. I'm paying for the $12 glass of whatever it is. Have you address it like that?
I'm kind of particular about what I drink, and most of the things I do aren't on like the special list. So I mean, like, when I'm struggling with money, then I'm like, dang it, I have to get something else. But if not, I'm like, I get what I drink. What I drink,
I'll splurge on the car wash. It's like, it's the $5 one,
or
maybe the $12 one. I'm feeling frisky today. I'm going to get the hot wax treatment or whatever it does that I don't know actually does anything. But
that's sad if we're
on the car.
Splurging on a car.
No, but those are some of it is weird what we will pay
little
for
things.
That will like hand over like $8 for a drink. And then we're like, what? I have to pay. My cell phone bill went up $8 a month. No, that doesn't seem fair.
Right.
Or Netflix is $2 more a month. Now, wait a second. It's like I just threw $2 in.
I have to
trash.
Convince myself sometimes with certain things when I'm out, like when I, especially shopping like normal clothes for myself, I'm really bad about it. So I have to sometimes be like, it's okay, Taylor, you know, this will last you. You'll wear these a lot. And because if not, if it's a jersey, I'll go spend $200 on it. But a pair of jeans, I'm like, what? $20? No.
Yes. I'm the biggest splurge I've ever had. We went to Italy for our 10-year wedding anniversary. And I fully admit that this was something that it was a splurge and it's ridiculous, but I did it anyway. We were in Italy, and they make Louis Vuitton purses in France, so it's a little, I hate to use the word cheaper, because there's nothing cheap about Louis Vuitton, but they are less expensive than they are in the States, plus you get your tax back when you go through customs. So this was my splurge, I'm going to buy one of these, and I did, and I somebody joked with me, you're like, how do you have a, and I'm not going to tell you how much I paid for it, a fill in the blank dollar purse and have on like $20 shoes with it? I'm like, that is a good point. You're but like, I have $20 like, well, shoes so that why. I can afford. Yeah, that's exactly why. Right. I can afford the purse that now sits in a bag in the closet because I'm too terrified to carry it around. That's probably my biggest splurge for sure. Two of the people in this room are married. Mm-hmm. You will be, I'm sure, one day, Taylor.
Maybe.
You're a big sports fan, too. If yes. you had the opportunity to get married on the Midway, would you do it? We'll have you answer that next.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
I am looking up at the TV right now, and good thing is David Ortiz's condition is upgraded to good.
Oh, yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Being the, and I don't mean to derail us for like 5 seconds.
No, what's up?
The rumors about why he was shot.
Yes.
If they are true.
Well, which rumor? Because I've heard many.
Okay, so the one, yeah,
so
that's
fair
enough.
Which one are you on?
I'm referring to his possible involvement with this drug lord's wife or girlfriend.
Right, okay.
Again, speculation.
Right.
But the question is, you love David Ortiz, right? You're one of, I mean, yeah. people love him.
Mm-hmm.
People flock to support him and hope he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
If it's true, if that part of the story is true and would mean that he was cheating on his wife,
mm-hmm.
does that change the way you feel about him?
No.
Okay. I just was curious.
No, because long as there's no harm, and I mean like physical harm being done,
mm-hmm.
Just like I'm still a fan of Tiger Woods, and look what he did.
Sure.
You know?
No, that's fair.
So
yeah, I just was curious.
Why would this...
People's personal...
Yeah.
When
it
choices.
Comes to that, no. No, okay. That's... I'm not
when
one
you,
to...
When you... In the reverse aspect, like if you have a player you love and their significant other, wife, whatever, cheats on them, do you get mad at that significant other? Like if it was Tom Brady and Giselle, it came out that Giselle cheated on Tom Brady.
That's a good question. I don't know. Because
it's somewhat of a double standard,
yeah.
right? If you were to get mad about...
For sure.
Because
well,
I'm asking because that's one of the things going on with the Cubs right now. Ben Zobrist is missing a ton of games because
yes,
they filed for divorce. And apparently in his divorce papers, it says she was unfaithful. So that came out saying that, and I was so upset. I was like, no, like Cubs fans were like, she had to delete her Twitter or like put it on hiatus or whatever because Cubs fans were like going after her about hurting Ben Zobrist.
And he's been missing games for this because he's like broken up about it. And
yeah,
he's having such a hard time.
Probably not coming back this
That's
year.
That's really sad.
That's yeah. Sad.
How about one more rabbit hole thing for just a moment here? Let me go down
Let's
this
do
a little
it.
Further. Addison Russell, ugh. I got into a rabbit hole on Instagram. And that's the other thing about social media now. And if as long as it's not locked, you can see whatever people will post, right?
Mm-hmm.
In their lives. I learned a lot about him, that he has 3 children with 3 different women. The
yeah.
first two, the woman he was married to at first was the one that he got the suspension for
mm-hmm.
Abusing her, physically
yeah.
assaulting her. He had a child with another woman essentially at the same time his first kid was born. And then
mm-hmm.
now he's found this next woman that he has a child with, and they're young. I mean, they're like in their young,
yeah.
early 20s, and it just like gross. It's stink and the stuff, and I just does he have a hard
Russell,
time?
Oh, I can't stand it. Like
yeah.
even when he's playing right now, and one of my best friends, David, we watch all the games together, and we every time he's up, I can't even cheer for him. Honestly, like he hit a home run one of the games, and we both were like, cool. Like I just
it's hard. Yeah.
I don't want you on our team.
Yeah.
I really don't. There was a lot, and his is deep, too. If you read the blog about his, what
mm-hmm.
she wrote about him, like
yes.
the things he did were awful.
Yes.
Awful.
Yes. And I got in, and I finally was like, putting phone down, walking away, because
yeah.
it's hard to read all that. I'm sure
mm-hmm.
even harder to experience it.
Well, let's talk about happy things like marriage.
Yes. Love and marriage.
Marriage can be extremely happy, especially apparently if you're a Bills fan and you want to get married at a game. So the Buffalo Bills announced today that they are seeking for Bills fans. Now, the way that they word it, I'm going to guess it has to be a future husband and wife that are both Bills fans with the way that they kind of worded it.
Mm-hmm.
So
a lucky couple.
A lucky couple will enjoy a marriage, a wedding of a lifetime. It'll be during the halftime of the September 29th game in Buffalo, which is against New England.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. They didn't put all the details on there
right.
what it involves. But they, you know, the Bills are asking you to send in stuff and how they're going to choose you. I don't know what the stipulations are and everything like that, but I'm not a Bills fan, but I thought this was a huge home run. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bravo, because Bills fans kind of have that stigma of, ooh, you're a Bills fan?
Yeah.
You're
kind of
crazy. Yeah. You know?
Well, it is kind of crazy to get married at halftime in a game, isn't it?
I would so do that in a heartbeat.
Would you?
Yes.
I would. That's like that would be my dream. Like, if it was at Soldier Field getting married, it's funny because I actually have looked into I don't even have like a boyfriend, let alone like a fiance, but I have
the text
looked,
line is open yeah, for guys. Proposals for Build My Lifetime Enclosures for
I've
Taylor
looked,
Hill.
For at Wrigley, like I'm like, is it possible to get married at Wrigley? Like I've literally looked into this before, and I'm like, I've got to find somebody who's a Chicago fan or just doesn't care, because if not, we're gonna have some issues. We're gonna have a little bit of issues.
When I worked in minor league baseball, one of the teams I worked for was the Great Falls White Sox up in Great Falls, Montana, and we did. Now that this is bringing back a memory, we did I don't know if it was a promotion or not, but somebody wanted to get married on the field pregame behind home plate, and we did a whole thing and let him do it.
That's
and they
so
were,
cool.
Yeah. So,
that's awesome.
Did they have like she have a gown
I,
on?
Yeah, she had the wedding dress on. Mm-hmm. And then they were, I feel like she sat in the stands for the time in her full get up, and they had a big time with it.
I love
it.
That would have been cute if she had kind of like the Rockford Peaches type of, you know, the old school 80s baseball uniform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be cute.
It's like the ladies who, did you ever see the girl was the NHL final like a few, I don't remember, 5-6 years ago, and the girl, it was their honey, like they just got married and they were at the game. She's like full on in her wedding dress sitting there like eating nachos at a hockey game.
I did see that. Like, yes, that was awesome.
I was like, yes.
I love it. Now that could be you too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
I appreciate that.
Me too.
I think that's great. When we had the draft and we had those bachelorettes with the bachelorette
I'm getting all mad about it. No.
How do you feel about proposals at sporting events?
I don't mind them. I'm not. Yeah. We had a discussion a few years back. I don't know when this happened. It was after a World Series and somebody proposed to their girlfriend.
One of the
right
players
then.
Did.
Yes.
Yes. We see that a lot. I feel like that just recently happened too.
And I had a problem with that for the fact of, come on now. I mean, that's right after your big moment. And or no, I didn't have. I forget if I had. A
you
problem.
Can't remember.
I can't remember. It was
I outraged or not? I can't remember.
I remember there was arguments, and no, I think. No, I don't think I had a problem with it because he wanted to celebrate his big moment with her and make it their moment together.
Yeah.
So I thought it was great. I don't mind. I don't mind celebrations.
I wouldn't mind, like, personally, if it was just one of the ones where maybe he's like, hey, look up, and it's like on the ticker or something. But I wouldn't want to be like full Jumbotron having to say yes, because I know I'll be crying and I'll be like, I'm like, oh God, don't point this out. But it's funny because my stepdad proposed to my mom at a Notre Dame Michigan game.
Oh,
and,
that's cool.
It was my mom missed it though. They put it up on the screen and she missed it. Yeah, so
she was like in the bathroom or in line.
Well, she was standing there, but
or?
She was like, "We're kids, so we're running around." And my dad's trying to get us all together, and he's like, "Look, look, look!" And then by the time she looks, I see it, and I'm like, "Oh!" And my mom's still looking for my brother. Like, "Where's Colin?"
What did he do? Was he like?
He just got down on his knee, and so by the time she turned back around, she was like, "Oh!" And everyone around was like looking, clapping, but it was kind of funny.
So let's flip it. Would you ever? You know,
propose to a man?
Yeah, at a game. Would you ever do that?
Honestly, it would probably be something I would do.
You would?
Because that's just...
But you would be the one proposing?
Like, I could honestly see myself doing something like that.
Hey, for all the hate that you guys gave the feminist movement earlier, that may be the top of what feminists, you know, that and trying to be paid equally, that may be next up.
I don't know. I don't know if I would, but I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't say no. I would never do that.
Okay, well, that's interesting. All right, I like it. We talked about this on the Frangie Show today, and I'm curious to get the ladies' perspective because that's who was polled for this specific topic.
Oh, okay.
Gone brain dead. Not Tin Gym. Planet Fitness.
Yes.
Conducted some kind of survey. And the specifics of it, I'm not completely sure on. But they asked a bunch of women, I suppose, that work out there, if they would be interested, if they're more drawn to essentially the dad bod look, the extra 20 pounds here or there, a bit of the pudgy stomach. You know what a dad bod is, right?
Yes.
It's all the rage. 70% of these women said yes. I'm shocked. But I want to know what you think. Are you, I mean, do you prefer a dad bod versus like, and I'm not talking like roided up, three necks, can't put his arms together, T-Rex arms.
You're not talking about The Rock.
Not talking about The Rock, with all due respect to Leon Searcy's former teammate. But I'm talking like, listen, my boy Channing Tatum, Magic Mike all day, versus when he was in some other weird movie and they made him gain a bunch of weight and he was like, dough body. Like, no.
Dough body.
Do you guys feel the same way or no?
What I found funny was that they said nearly 80% of men said that they were happier with their dad bods. And I'm going, well, that's
of
because
course.
You're eating and drinking yeah. anything that you want. So that's why you're happier, right? Aren't we all happier when we're like, oh, hell, I don't have to be on a diet. Woohoo! Yeah. I can eat what I want.
Yes, that's true. You know? No, that's true.
So I didn't need a study for them to tell me that 80% were happy. Mm-hmm. But I think, because I love my husband dearly, that if you do have a dad bod, that I hope your personality also matches.
That's very
the
kind of you.
Body.
That's
yes.
very kind
well,
of you.
So that makes it overall sexy.
Yes. Okay, that's good.
Can I put it that way?
Yes, yeah. You can. You absolutely can.
I'll be honest that I've always kind of like dad bods. A lot of the guys that I've dated, they've always been chunkier guys.
I love and it's how always, you say that.
It has. And it's nice to look at, like when I see a muscular, fit guy, I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Right, but it's not necessarily
something I
want
go
to date.
After.
That's a really good point because I think, oh God, there's some YouTube video called, and Matt, you may have are familiar with this, The Crazy Hot Matrix. Mm-hmm. And there is this. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, isn't that from How I Met Your Mother? I'm pretty sure. It's Barney Stinson.
Well, I don't know. There is. I don't know.
Yes.
It's his
yes.
crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, his
well,
crazy
there's a
hot
whole
scale.
YouTube thing that I have watched that is phenomenal and spot on that shows this like graph of like the hotter the girl is, the crazier she probably is. And every once in a while, you'll find a unicorn and she's hot, but she's not crazy. But traditionally, the if you can keep them in like that mid range, then the crazy level that they. Kind of coincide
personality
together.
And the looks
right.
are.
But you're right. There is this thought that like guys who all they care about is their body and are all like super obsessed with it are usually stuck up or jerks to date or not the nicest guys to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so I can see that side of it where girls or women are like, listen, I'd rather you be a like super nice guy and have personality and not treat me like garbage than be smoking hot.
Yeah. Well, mine's even, I don't know what it is, even outside of that, because a lot of even the athletes, when I look at them and I'm like, ooh, and my friends all like the big, like muscular, giant, like Gronkowskis and stuff. And I never had, like, I love Jay Cutler, who was just like chubby and mean. Like, that's just always how I've been. It's just always been that way. So I've just accepted it. I've been like, all right.
Jay Cutler, the personality of a wet napkin, man. Goodness.
One more note on the dad bod. There is a team out of Kentucky, Florence Founders, I think is correct, who is a minor league baseball team, and they may be independent ball because I don't know who they're affiliated with. Either way, they did on Sunday, one of their promotions was dad bod jersey nights. And I retweeted this earlier at Lauren_Rue if you want to see what it looks like. And they wore jerseys that were meant to look like a quote dad bod. They're flesh colored.
Oh,
they have
so good.
Like nipples and all. They have hair that goes up the middle of the stomach, up the chest.
See, no,
a
I
little
can't
bit
deal
on the
hair.
No, I know. I'm with you on that. But on the back, there's even like a very regrettable back tattoo that is included in that. And then the numbers are like peeking through the fake back hair. And when you see them from a distance, you're like, is
that's
that guy on second not wearing a shirt? Because they looked so lifelike. But I thought, well done in
that's
terms
cool.
of the promotions department. Right?
See, you can have a dad bod all day, but if you put hair on that dad bod, mm-mm. Or
then
you
it's
can
a
have
whole
muscles
other...
and you could put hair. No, yeah. I am
you prefer
not a fan
your,
of hair.
You're men hairless.
Yes, I do.
Learn something new about Donna Murphy every day.
They're either old, dead, or hairless.
old, dead, or hairless.
That's
which,
my type.
Yes, which is... Those hairless cats, that's the first
no,
thing I thought
like
of. I don't
those.
Know.
They oh, no.
look old and dead, and they're hairless. That's what I thought of.
Yeah,
those
they
cats.
Look creepy.
They
no.
are. They are very disgusting.
Those the hair on the back of that jersey is a lot.
Yes.
Like, the front doesn't bother me. I like beard guys, so I'm used to, like,
hair
a little bit. But that is, I mean, like, I was dating an actual bear.
Yes. That's a good point. Have you ever dated someone that actually looked like a bear?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay, that's good.
Probably gives good bear hugs, right?
Yeah. Oh, good job. The dad bod only to be followed up with a dad joke. Good job. Good job, Matt LaVey.
I don't think Matt LaVey will ever have a dad bod.
Yeah, I do a little too much running for that. But my dad always jokes with me that 20 years from now, he's going to laugh at me because I'll be fat. But I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. All right,
I'll show you, Dad.
We've talked sportsmanship today in terms of the U.S. Women's National Team. The ultimate sign of sportsmanship almost going too far. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels, built by Dreamfinders Homes.
Presented by Underwood Jewelers and American Window Products.
On 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
So we're going to go from one extreme to the other in terms of sportsmanship. The U.S. Women's National Team has been talked about ad nauseum regarding being bad sports in some people's eyes. Well, here's a complete 180 from that. Uh-huh. On Thursday last week, the Raptors beat the Golden State Warriors to take home their first ever NBA title. And the Warriors did something that I am not familiar with anybody else doing ever. Like, I've never seen this happen before. The Warriors took out a full page ad, I'm sure it was paid for as well, in the Toronto Star congratulating the Toronto Raptors. Now, I would read it for you, but literally my computer just died right before it happened. But it's something to the extent of congratulations on your very, you know, for winning your first ever NBA title to the Toronto Raptors. And there's a picture of Steph hugging Kyle Lowry. And I've never seen anything like this before. And I can't really decide how I feel about it. Like, there's a part of me that says, this is really nice, and we live in a world where we should be nice to each other and whatever, but this is almost like too far. Can sportsmanship go too far?
The exact words, the Golden State Warriors congratulate the Toronto Raptors on their historic achievement in bringing the 2019 NBA championship to the city of Toronto. So that was the
thank you.
Official.
That was the, yes, mm-hmm. Thank you for finding that. Is that weird to anybody else?
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's
are you
it's
getting
different.
Emotional over there?
Yeah. No, my voice, I was like losing my voice. I was crying a
She's
little
getting
bit.
Choked up.
It would be something I would probably get choked up over if another team did it towards one of my teams, you know, after. But I think the Golden State, they've done, you know, they've been there. They have they have these championships recently now. So for them, they remember they were there not too long where they were winning that. And they after that first incredible season, and they were like, man, so I'm sure in their heads they're all kind of like, we were there at one point. We were there in that point where to know that feeling of, oh, it's been so long, or it's the first time, or whatever it is.
Right.
And
you think it's genuine? I mean, is this being like, I guess we'll never know, but is this like, we're genuinely wishing you congratulations? Because the competitor in me would be like, my God, no. Like, the last thing, I mean, it's one thing to shake hands and give credit where credit's due, but then to go out of your way for this public display of congratulating the team that just beat you.
I think it's great for the fact, I agree when you were talking about on the Fringe show with Fat Tony, mm-hmm. which I know you don't like to call him that.
No, I don't.
But I agreed with what he said. I wonder if it is going to start something, a new trend.
Yeah.
You know, and I found it's refreshing. The Golden State Warriors have been the king of the mm-hmm. NBA
yeah.
for the past few years. So, yeah, they took down the behemoth. They finally conquered, and they won. So,
had the Rams beaten the Patriots in the Super Bowl, is this something you could ever see New England doing?
No. I mean, they didn't do it any of the other times they lost, so I
yeah.
think so.
I just wonder, I mean, the role that they had been on. And the
maybe now that a team has done it, and has shown that it yeah. can be done in a tasteful manner.
Right.
I enjoy it. I think it's great.
Well, and I wonder if it, what the process of getting, was it the newspaper that said, hey, we're going to post this giant thank you, or there's ways of someone
like, was
taking
somebody in
it.
PR,
was it the PR?
I would assume
they
had to have
a page.
Golden State's permission to do
say,
all this.
Hey,
and
can we say thank you?
Yeah.
Just because I know another example, because for Cubs, when Dexter Fowler left and he went to the Cardinals, which is like our biggest rival, so it was kind of like this weird thing. But Dexter Fowler and his wife took out a whole page.
And I've seen that before. Yes, and I love that. I think that's really cool.
I've just
never seen the team that's been beaten
say, congratulations.
Hey, thanks for beating us and kicking our ass. I guess it wasn't like a total ass king, you know, they didn't sweep them, whatever.
We did see the LSU women's gymnastics team put up a billboard.
For their runner-up. Yeah, we did see that.
No, you don't do that.
You don't do that at all. How about this? Do you ever go through food buffets? And I'm starving. I see Taylor has her food right there. I see Big Game James crushing a salad there in the doorway. And all I'm thinking about is what I'm about to eat in the next 20 to 25 minutes. But do you go to buffets? I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me.
So,
are you a buffet person?
Well, what type of buffet? Like, there's brunch buffet, which is different.
How about this? Community food spreads.
No.
Okay. Taylor?
Yeah, but I think more when I was younger, like when my parents would take me. Now, since I've been older, I don't think I just go alone.
Because we know what's there.
Yes.
And how long it's been.
All right. Well, the good people of Texas, bless their hearts, there is this Twitter, again, my 100th reference of the day. I saw on Twitter that there is this, I don't know if it's a trend or whatever it is, but in Texas, it's like called Texas-sized nachos, and they take a kiddie pool and they make nachos. They'll dump a whole bunch of chips, they'll put all this layers in, and they serve these at a party. So you have a baby pool size serving of nachos that everybody sticks their hands in.
At a personal party, though?
Yeah, like,
everybody
over and
having
drinks.
A party.
Now, while we're all turning up our nose, and I'm looking at you too, Big Game James, you got to be guilty of drinking punch out of a bathtub or something nasty at a party at some point where everybody's had their dirty hands in college or something. Everybody's been guilty of that, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Yes, James, you have too. But when it comes to food, like, would you take some nachos?
I didn't have college.
Well, at parties even, and in high school, some of us. Would you eat out of the giant baby pool thing of nachos?
See, the kiddie pool just creeps me out, man. If you're gonna,
it's brand new and clean.
The kiddie pool creeps.
Nobody peed in it.
If it's a bucket, give me a bucket instead.
Okay.
And I think when you're saying kiddie pool, you're automatically picturing like a little pool on the ground. I'm sure it's on a table.
Yes,
like
and
it's
again,
a pool.
It's not
a
been
table.
Used to like urinate in or
swim. I would eat it. I love nacho cheese.
I do too.
I put nacho cheese on like my popcorn when I go to the movie theaters.
Ooh, so. And that's that fake nacho cheese too.
It's so good.
There are sometimes nothing better than nachos though. Like if they're done correctly.
Oh, I'm a double dipper. I don't care.
Yeah, this is like the nachos.
If you don't want
to
double dip, then sorry.
Oh, you are okay. Don't ever share with Donna.
If you don't
Wait,
like
you
it,
double
I'm going to
You double dip in the community queso that's been ordered for the table?
Yes. I need the queso on all of the chips.
You should probably just order your own from now on.
I'm sorry. I am a Seinfeld reference. Nope. I will double dip.
She just doubled it.
The nachos, though, just for everyone's clarification, it's not just like the ballpark ones where it's like the chips. It's like the beans and the meat and the lettuce and the... And it is...
Do they have a picture of this?
Yes, and I need to, again,
we got to look that up.
Computer
That'll be my next vacation.
just honestly, that's my next vacation. I'm going to Texas to try kiddie pool
nachos.
Size nachos.
So when you sent us this, I'm like, I don't, are we getting in?
That's what I thought.
Nachos?
I was like, are we wrestling in nacho cheese?
That sounds more
appealing. All we got on our instructions was kiddie pool full of nachos. I was like, what are we doing?
We're doing that.
You know, there's coleslaw wrestling down in Daytona if you like that.
Yes. So. Ooh, gross. Do you guys like coleslaw?
No, I'm not a coleslaw.
I'm not a coleslaw.
I only like it on my barbecue sandwiches. Well, they call that Memphis style.
Oh,
by the way, kiddie pool nachos. If you put that in the search engine on Twitter, hell yes, right there, baby. 2.1 million people have watched this take place. Welcome to the nacho pool party.
That is a big pool of nachos.
It is. Oh, and the sour cream.
Nope. Yeah. See, you ruined it.
No, I love sour cream.
That sounds good to me. But that's also because I'm starving. I haven't finished lunch today. That's what it'll do for me as well.
That's something you would splurge on, the nachos.
I would splurge on the nachos. I've had dessert nachos before. Those are really good too.
Dessert.
Where it's like cinnamon chips and ice cream. And
yeah, I've had those too.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that one.
I sound like a pregnant person, which I am not. Just a very hungry person right now for sure. So this evening, I was kind of bummed. I don't know. Have we seen? Okay, so Vandy, Mississippi State has been moved to tomorrow, but are they going to finish Auburn? Oh, 10 o'clock is what
they
said?
Yeah, Auburn and our time.
Did anybody watch Michigan and Florida State last night?
Nope.
Okay, well, you missed another great pitching duel. Sorry about it. The Noles suffered their first loss in what seems like 400 games.
Yeah.
But they got shut out last night. Two things I have questions about for Michigan. Number one, somebody's got to teach those guys how to slide, bless their hearts. Yeah, one guy absolutely bit it and, like, flopped right on the ground.
He belly flopped and face first into.
Yes, and it looked like it hurt. Oh, and then the guy, not long after him, going into third, I want to say, got snipered too, and he got caught up and bumped his way into the.
Bumped.
Yeah, into the base. That's where my vocabulary is at this point. The other part of this, they're wearing these. What looks like the plays like they wear in college football on their wrist, which they do in baseball. These guys wear them on their belts. Like,
I've seen that recently.
On the front. I don't understand why they do that.
I was at the when I went to the Jumbo Shrimp game a few weeks ago, some of the guys had them in their back pocket. And I didn't even know they carried around.
Yes, that part I'm not confused about. It's why does it have to be like Rainbow Bright buckle, like right on the front?
Right, are you not allowed to carry something in your pocket?
No, you can, and you can wear it as a wristband.
But they all
too,
have it on their
down.
Belt.
But there's a whole bunch of them like that. And they're big and box sized, and
I don't know.
I didn't understand that at all.
I've seen them in Major League Baseball, yeah. Obviously in their pockets, but never on a belt. That's
no
that's
doubt.
Awkward.
Mike Kitts is up on Twitter as we prepare to crosstalk with Denny and James because we don't normally do that, but they're joining. They're filling in tonight, so we're going to chat with them for a moment. Mike says, more importantly, do we have to question the motive of every single good gesture? And with regard to the congratulatory thing from the Warriors to the Raptors, he says, my God, it's become the norm. It become not the norm to be nice. We could use a hell of a lot more of this. No doubt. There is absolutely no doubt. Yeah. My question, though, was not in the – I mean, sports are competitive and sports are a place where you usually don't see – the losing side come out and make a big deal about saying congratulations. And I thought it was worth discussing.
Now, the 2-minute drill delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with a heaping side of peace of mind, not to mention the free chips and salsa, delivery and setup. Visit moescateringfl.com.
We have a bonus crosstalk today. Give a shout out to Moe's. And we're joined tonight by Big Game James.
I think I hit the wrong thing.
No, you hit the wrong
thing. I should have won the Moe's. But I would not share Moe's queso
with any
Donna or
not. That side of the table is out.
I don't need you to share it with me. I'm just telling you that
no,
I will double dip. No double dip.
How about going elbow deep in the kiddie pool nachos? How do you feel about that?
How I feel about buffets at this point in my career because I'm no longer poor. I have to get the first serving or one of the early service. If I can get there early.
When they're pulling the plastic off.
Yeah, like I'm cool, but it's just after, you know, people have coughed and sneezed.
Yeah. Yes.
And now if there's a copious amount of alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're down.
But like right
you're
now.
You're scoping
out
the guy coming with the trays, like right when he's setting it
down.
Yeah,
you're
like,
there's down, I'm good. But other than that, just eating regular buffet. With a whole bunch of other people and their hygiene habits, I start sweating myself.
Yeah, people are nasty.
I'm afraid I'm going to eat it and end up like one of these people in the DR or something like that.
What, no. Right? What
so
is going
stuff.
On? That is terrifying.
I'm still going
scary.
At the end of the summer. So
are you?
I was planning my 30th to go there. Now, I don't know.
Have you listened to Mad Dads?
No.
Where
apparently,
is Mad Dad been?
Apparently
I have
Jacksonville,
not heard from him.
Apparently Jacksonville every day. You walk out, you can get shot anywhere. So, I mean, it's just
true.
As bad.
It's just you're running the risk. I do have a question, though, before we find out what you guys are talking about tonight, if you know. I know.
Absolutely no clue.
Okay, good. Well, we'll check that off the box. What did you think of the Raptors?
I hate it.
Okay. The Golden State Warriors saying congratulations.
No, I think the Raptors should buy a full page ad. Well, first off, who's reading newspapers at this point? So
good
it's
point.
A complete waste of money. Second, they're boosting the Canadian economy. Don't like that. Third, the only thing that they can do, but they're Canadian, so they won't do it, is buy a full page ad in Oakland or San Francisco, whatever the heck it is they do, saying, we beat you. I don't like friendship. Like, this is not friendly. I'm not a friendly competitor. I beat you. I don't want you conceding. This is too nice.
Yeah.
I get it for the kids and all the other stuff, but I'm a Charles Barkley fan. Like, I don't want sports people to be my kids' role model. I'm a pretty, I do some good things that my son should emulate. some things I hope he
Do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly.
Is that right? All right, James. We will stay tuned for the Sports Den. The Sports Den filling in for Into the Night with Rick Ballew this week will be with you from 8 to 11. Is that correct?
Yes.
Everybody's nodding their heads. Okay, very good. And they'll be with you the remainder of the week from 7 to 10. I'll be back tomorrow afternoon with The Frangie Show, who's on vacation, and I'll be joined by Tony Smith and Philip Heilman. For Andrew Gibson, who helped us out in our first hour, Matt LaVey getting us through the second hour, Taylor Dahl and Donna Murphy, I'm Lauren Rue. Have a great rest of your night. Stay tuned for The Sports Den.